This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing. Talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome.
You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. Newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we're live. Happy Wednesday, Soul Well. That's S-O-U-L. That is the show you're going to hear about in this new time slot, and I'm going to be introducing you to the new host, Suzanne Temple.
Hi.
Wrong intro. Hello, Suzanne. Welcome back. Let's get you to reintroduce yourself, your show, and what's up for today.
Yes. Thank you, Nicole. Hi, everybody. My name is Suzanne Temple, and this is Soul Well, and this is already the fourth episode of 10 tricks that you can use to change your life. And I think we're going to continue where we left off last time. Now, the last time we were live, we talked about trick one, the 10 powerful preconditions that you have to incorporate to make change easier. And we're going to continue with trick number two, understanding intuition. And for those of you who just tuned in and were not listening to the episodes before, it's called tricks, but these are not quick fixes. So there's 10 tricks that you can use to change your life. And it's called tricks, but they're not quick fixes. I call them tricks because applying them in the right way may cause you to change, and therefore your life to change, in a seemingly magical way. And this is why we call it tricks. All right. So last time, I believe we ended with a bit of theory, because when we talk about changing our lives, we need to talk about changing our minds. And when I talk about changing our mind, I mean that in a very, very literal way. I don't mean that you need to take or to make a conscious decision when I say you need to change your mind. And this is often what we mean when we say, oh, I just changed my mind, that we made a conscious decision. But what I mean with changing your mind, I mean that you literally need to change the way your brain is functioning. And when your brain is functioning in a different way, then so is your mind. And in order to understand this, we need to talk about states of consciousness. and we already started to talk a little bit about states of consciousness last time, but a state of consciousness basically refers to the quality of awareness that we experience. And I already mentioned that we have several states of consciousness that we can experience, and each state has its own unique set of qualities. We also, I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. And we also talked a little bit about the brain, mind, and when our brain is active, we produce little electrical impulses in our brain. And these electrical impulses, they form waves, and we call those brain waves. You probably heard about brain waves before. And we have categorized these waves into five sections, five categories, basically. And this is important because when we're going to talk about states of consciousness, I'm going to use these categories in a metaphorical way to make these things clear. So the different categories of brainwaves can be compared to sections of a choir, you know, a choir that is singing in a church or somewhere else. In the choir, you have sections of people like the baritones and the basses and the alts. And so different sections of people that have a different task in a choir. And this is the same with your brain. Your brain has different sections, and those different sections I refer to in a sense of different brainwave categories. So it's not a physical section in the brain. And you can be the conductor of that choir. You can literally change the way your brain is functioning by changing those sections, changing the way your brainwaves are functioning. And I will use the metaphor of the choir later on when I explain the states of consciousness, just to make it easier to understand. Last time, I think I already explained that most people are in a normal waking state during the day with their eyes open. Now, a normal waking state is not, it is a very specific state of consciousness to begin with, but we're not referring to a normal waking state where we're just awake. A normal waking state is a very specific state of consciousness. Some people are not in a normal waking state when they are awake. Some people are in higher states of consciousness when they function with their eyes open during the day. But most people are in what we call a normal waking state. So if we go back to that normal waking state, what are the characteristics of this state? Well, basically, there are two main characteristics that are important for us. Excuse me. One is most of the energy in the brain is used for thinking. This is in a normal waking state, that most of the energy is used for thinking. You might have already experienced this yourself, that during the day you think a lot. You can't stop thinking. The second characteristic of the normal waking state is that there is no possibility to get information from the subconscious. I'm going to repeat that. There is no possibility to get information from the subconscious. Now, why are these two characteristics of that specific state of consciousness, the normal waking state, the state that most people are in, why are those two characteristics important when it comes to changing your life? Let's talk about that in relation to decision making, right? Because when we talk about changing our lives, we talk about decision making and vice versa. When we talk about decision making, we have to at least think about change. I'll give you an example. At this moment, I am not drinking coffee. But when I'm offered a coffee, I have to make a decision if I want to change the situation of me not drinking coffee. In other words, I have to think about whether I accept the offer of coffee or not. A decision is basically a conscious choice we make to do something or not to do something. So it's a determination that has arrived after a consideration. That means a decision can be followed by an action, but it's not necessarily so. But even if we decide not to act or not to do anything, at least we have to consider whether we would or not. So we have to think about change. Because we're talking about changing our lives, we talk about change. And with every change, we need to start making decisions. And decision making is easier when you can make them intuitively. And you are most likely to make better decisions for yourself when you make them intuitively. And here comes the crux. We all have intuition, but some people are more in touch with it than others. And in decision making, intuition can be a very powerful tool. Also, when dealing with change, intuition can be a very powerful tool. So are some people just better at listening to their intuition than others or not, or is there more to it? Well, there is more to it. Our intuitive mind is part of our subconscious. And remember that I said that in a normal waking state, we do not have access to that subconscious. So that means when we want to change our lives and we want to make intuitive decisions and we want to make better decisions for ourselves, we better get out of that normal waking state because we don't have access to the subconscious where our intuitive mind is. So intuition is the ability to understand something instinctively without the need for conscious reasoning. And the conscious reasoning is the thinking part of the mind. And that is what we do a lot in a normal waking state. Remember, there's lots of thinking going on. The majority of the energy goes to thinking. We don't have access to the subconscious. So this is, with not having access to the subconscious, is where the problem starts. And that means that in a normal waking state, we simply have no connection to our intuitive mind, and we start to think about solutions. When we want to have that bridge or that connection or that contact with the subconscious, we need to get or to form a bridge to it. So the conclusion in a way is very simple. When we want to make decisions more intuitively, we need to change our state of consciousness. We need to get out of that normal waking state. Now, some of you might already have some intuitions or some intuitive insights during the day, or maybe you had some intuitive insights when you had to make a decision in your life, or it happened to you. And most of you who have intuitive insights, you can still remember them because you have no clue where it came from, but you just knew, or you just made the right decision and you keep thinking about it, that you're so lucky that you made that decision at that time. So at times, we just know what the right decision is, even though we're not able to explain why. And that is our intuition at work. It can often lead us to the truth, basically, even though our logical mind wants us to take a different direction, or our logical mind doesn't understand what is coming up and why we think that we need to go left or right. But this will not happen to everyone. And even when it happens to some people occasionally, it might not function when you really need it or when you really want it. I've heard many people say over time that they are quite intuitive, but they have no control of it. And if this is for you, if you're listening now and this is for you, you don't have intuitive insights or you don't have any control over it, or it just happens once in a while, and you might wish it would happen more often to you, that you have insights exactly when you need it, but you can't seem to access this at will, then there is only one solution. You need to find a way to have more and stable access to the subconscious. So when there is no access to the subconscious, this will not happen at all. No intuitive insights will come to you. So I browsed on the internet and to see whether there were, you know, people giving tips, because there's so much myths and misconceptions about this. And I just browsed the internet for a bit and see if I could find tips on working on intuitive or on your intuition or getting more intuitive. And I will list some of them for you, and I will discuss with you my arguments why those tips might not work. So tip number one I have found is, and I will read this, pay attention to your gut feelings. If it's something feels wrong, it probably is. Well, you must understand that change, any change, usually feels wrong to us. I already discussed this in the 10 powerful preconditions for change. We discussed the precondition, which was number two, that you have to learn to embrace discomfort. Our minds are programmed to like what we know. So the challenge here is to find out if it's fear that is holding you back, or if a choice to go in a certain direction is indeed wrong. So most people have no clue when they make decisions. Most people do have a clue, for instance, when it comes to when their lives are threatened. Then that intuition or that intuitive part starts to play up very strongly. But that is only when they are no longer in a normal waking state, because their lives are threatened, and then their brain starts to respond in a different way. And then all of a sudden they have that access to the subconscious, and then that subconscious says, let's get out of here. But when they have to make a decision whether to go left or right in their lives is not threatened. So their brain is still starting to function, or still functioning in a different way, in a normal waking state. So number two I found, listen to your heart when making decisions. What does it tell you? Well, it's similar, but not the same as the last one. What you long for might not be the best for you. So how many times have you, for instance, fallen in love with someone only to find out later that they were not the right match for you? The same with jobs or courses and education. does that mean that you're not supposed to listen to your heart? I believe that it's important to listen to your heart, because living from the heart will make you happier than living from the logical mind. But this, however, is still not intuition. There is a difference between feelings that comes from an emotion and the knowing that comes from the subconscious intuition. And you want to know which is which when you make an important decision. Another one I found, follow your intuition even if it goes against what others are saying. Yes, that would be my advice as well. But how will you know the difference between your longing, your convictions and fears, and your intuitive insights? Have you ever wondered why, for instance, some people, when following their hearts, seem to be very successful in their endeavors, while others, they have to change their paths again after a short time because things didn't seem to work out for them after all? So unless you're absolutely positive that your ideas come from your subconscious intuitive mind, my advice would be, with major decisions, that you use some reasoning and some logic as well. At one point, when you are used to working with your intuition, you will know which is which, of course. Let's see, another one I found. Be open to change. intuition often leads us in unexpected directions. This is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Unfortunately, we usually don't like change. I can't stress this enough. Because with change comes losing what we know and entering the unknown. And this is why an intuitive insight is often ignored, because it somehow doesn't feel right. And as I said before, making a decision also means thinking about possible change. So let me tell you a short story of how I got to the School for Psychic Science in England, where I nowadays teach as a tutor of tomorrow, having no knowledge about mediumship or psychic abilities. So, and this is an example of intuition at work. I had a subscription to a magazine that I had received years prior to me reading that magazine at that moment. It was a gift from my parents, and it was a magazine about a lot of things about intuition and spiritual things, basically. And when that magazine would come in, I would browse through that magazine, not reading anything in particular, just skimming the pages. And then at one moment, when I had some time, when I had some free time, I would take it again and then start to read some articles. So at that moment, the magazine came in and I started to very quickly browse the pages. When I came to the center of the magazine, there was this full-color, wonderful picture, photo, of an old building. And I turned the page and a thought came up. And that thought was, I am going there. I'm going to that building. And I was already 3 or 4 pages, I had moved on and already three or four pages away from that article. I didn't even read the headlines. I had no clue what it was about. I just saw the picture. And when I turned the page, that thought came up. And it was only after I turned another 3 pages that I thought, that's a strange thought. That's a bizarre thought, actually. Why am I thinking I'm going there when I have no clue, A, what that building is, B, where it is, and C, why am I going there? So I started to turn back and go to that that photo, and I started to investigate what that building was about, and so I started to read the article. And crazy enough, I thought that this article was about intuition development, and it never said mediumship in that article. Otherwise, I probably would not have signed up for a course immediately. And at that moment, I was just interested in intuition development. So I read the article, and thinking it was about intuition development, I went online, looked for the school, booked a course right away. And then when I booked and paid for the course, which was in a matter of only half an hour, I read the article, booked the course, paid for it, and then it was done. Afterwards, I thought, oh my gosh, what did I do? What did I just do? Maybe this is not for me. I have to go to England by myself. What if I don't like it? So I just comforted myself with the idea that I would bring my hiking shoes and just treat it as a holiday and treat the school as just some sort of a hotel because it was full board. So I thought, okay, I just treat the school as a hotel and I'm going off on my merry way when I don't like the course. So this is how I first got into my first mediumship training. just by an intuitive insight, in a way, that formed in the conscious mind as a thought. Now, logically, it was not. I could argue that it was a strange thought. I could have said, all these arguments, I don't want to go, what am I going to do there? I don't even know what it is about, etc., etc. But my logical mind was turned off until I had booked the course. It was only my intuition who said, you're going there, book the course, and then I started to reason. It's only then I started to reason, and fear came in, and I thought, oh, what am I doing? So intuition is always leading you in unexpected directions, and it goes against logic, etc., etc., absolutely. Another one I found is the more you use your intuition, the stronger it will become. Intuition, like I said, is more often accurate than the conscious reasoning mind. This is because our conscious mind is limited, basically, in its ability to process information. A subconscious mind, on the other hand, can take far more information and make better decisions as a result. We can pick up information from what I call the field, so information that is out there that we have no conscious knowledge of. However, most people, again, do not have access to the subconscious because they function in a normal waking state. And again, the normal waking state is a very specific state of consciousness, so I'm not referring to those people in that state to being awake and not asleep. So that means that if we want to use our intuition for it to become stronger, like the statement says, we first need to have access to that subconscious. So the statement that the more you use your intuition, the stronger it will become, is only valid for those who already have access to the subconscious. And therefore, basically only to the ones already using their intuition, and not for those who do not have access to the subconscious. Dreams, for instance, also can contain messages that we can use to guide us. Meditation, when done properly, can give us a bridge to the subconscious, and we can access valuable information that we call intuitive insights. But we, in these episodes, are going to talk more about possibilities when we go through the tricks. And we're going to talk about getting access to the subconscious in another way by changing our minds. We're approximately halfway through, so I want to ask Nicole first. Nicole, are there any questions or any people waiting?
Currently, all the callers are just listening, but loving the breakdown and distinctions that you're making. You know, there's a lot of things that are flung around and said that are misleading. So this is good stuff.
All righty. So, when you have a question, please don't be afraid just to ask them, or if you want to change something in your life, you can share that with us. All right, so we're talking today about trick number two, understanding intuition. And yes, there is a lot of misunderstanding about intuition and a lot of stuff out there that is not true, and there's a lot of stuff out there that is true, but only valid for the people who are already using their intuition. But none of them specifically talk about how to get access to that intuition, how you can change your mind in order to become more intuitive. Today we talk about the characteristics of the normal waking state. And it's important to understand this because when we want to get out of the normal waking state, we want to recognize when we are in a normal waking state. That is step one. We need to know where we at in order to know when we want to go somewhere, where we are. It's like when you're in the forest and you know where to go, but you don't know where you are. You're lost. So you need to know where you are, okay? So the two characteristics of the normal waking state, one, the most of the energy is used for the thinking, and the second one, there is no possibility to get information from the subconscious. So let's get to number one, because now we have talked about number two, basically. We have talked about no possibility to get information from the subconscious. So what about number one? Most of the energy is used for thinking. Let's get back to the metaphor of the choir and the sections of the choir to help you understand what is going on in the normal waking state. I think that's best. So the sections represent the brainwave categories. Now, there are four sections in the choir. There are basically, and I think I've already mentioned it, there are five. But the last section, number five, of the choir is a temporary section. It's not part of the choir's basis. So sometimes they are there for the repetitions, but more often they are absent. This is also with the brainwave categories. So there is five brainwave categories, but one category is more often silent than it's active. This last section of this choir that we're talking about is only active in case of emergencies or in special conditions. So today we're not discussing this section, okay? We're only talking about the four sections that make the base of the choir. So the four brainwave categories that make the base of the state of consciousness. So let's imagine this choir standing on a platform. So there's four sections from left to right. So the first section, standing on the far left, is the thinking section. This part, this is basically part of the conscious mind. So this is representing the brainwave categories that are part of the conscious mind. It's the thinking section. Maybe you can imagine them with black robes on and scholar hats on, singing, okay? That's, for your mind, that might be a little bit easy to remember. It's the thinking section in black with scholar hats on. Next to section number one is section number two. And this section is also part of the conscious mind. And this section is associated with inner awareness and inner senses. So it can be seeing, tasting, feeling, hearing, smelling. Let's imagine them with green robes. With basically, let's have something on. So let's have fruit on them, fruit, like basic fruit on the green robes. Because fruit you can see, you can taste, you can feel, you can smell, etc. So that's representing the inner senses, okay? So inner awareness and inner senses. The section two is standing next to section number one. So one was the black robes with the hats on, the thinking, section number two, is the green robes with the fruit, inner senses. Then we have section number three. Section number three is associated with the subconscious. Aha, this is an important section, number three, the subconscious. This is the intuitive mind as well. And they are wearing blue robes. So we're giving them blue robes, right? So first one was the thinking, the second one was the inner senses with the green robes and the fruit you could smell, and then the third one was the subconscious. And next to the subconscious is the fourth section. The fourth section is associated with our unconscious radar, that part of our mind that is connected to the field. And what is the field? The field basically is everything around us is energy, and that energy contains information, and we can pick up that information regardless of time and space. That is the field I'm talking about. we can pick up with our unconscious radar, with those, these are delta waves, with our delta brain waves, we can pick up information from that field. Now, let's say that they are wearing white robes and they are standing on the far right side of the platform. So now we have a clear mental image of that choir that we're working with, that choir that is representing basically your brain. Now, in a normal waking state, we have the section of the choir that is associated with thinking. So number one, on the far left with the black hats, and the scholar hats and the black robes, singing extremely loud, very, very loud. While the other sections, number two and number three, are either completely quiet or extremely soft singing. And because the other sections are quiet or extremely soft, we can't really hear them over the thinking section. Imagine that section number four of the choir, the ones in the white robe, the ones, the unconscious part that is connected to the field, they pick up information from the field. They have picked up some important information that we can use for our benefit. They've picked up that information, and they want to pass that information on to section number one, the conscious thinking mind, because we want to become conscious of it. And they need to pass that message on from number four, they pick that up, to number three, to number section number two, and eventually number one needs to hear this. Now, this information needs now to travel through the sections, to the conscious mind, to number one, to become aware. Now, the section next to number four, number three, is, of course, the first to hear it. Section number three should hear it and then pass it on, pass the message on to section number two. And they need to pass it on to section number one, the thinking section. But if some of these sections in between, the first and the last section, the first and the last section, so it's two and three, are extremely soft singing, and these messages will never reach the end destination. It simply can't be heard. Part of your brain, a section that is responsible for picking up information coming from the energy field, which is number four, is picking up information all the time. It never stops, not even when we're sleeping. But since in a normal waking state, the sections of these choirs in between are soft or silent, in other words, in brainwave terms, they have no energy in them, the information will never reach the conscious mind. And if it does, by some miracle, it simply won't be heard. So the thinking section is simply too loud. Even if number two and three start to sing a little bit louder, we need to bring the tone and the loudness of number one down in order to be heard, or in order to for the message to be heard. That is what needs to be done. It's very simple and easy understandable. The thinking section needs to quiet down, and the sections in between need to be louder. Simple, right? If the sections number two and number three learn to sing louder, they will form that bridge that we talked about from the conscious mind to the unconscious mind, to number four, those who pick up information from the field all the time. In the exact same way as we change the way this choir functions, we change our mind. We change the way our brain is functioning. So we can start use our intuition and make decisions when we want to change our lives. There are many, many benefits that you will experience once your mind starts to functioning in this way. When section number one, the thinking mind, learns to quiet down. And next time we're going to talk about how we're going to do that, because we're going to take this step by step. First, we're going to learn how section one is going to be quiet. Then we're going to learn how section number two can be more energetic. In other words, can be louder. Then we're going to talk about section number three, the subconscious, and how we can activate that and what we need to do in order for them to start functioning. And then we can start talking when we have done that and when we have trained that. Then we can start to feel and to experience that information can pass through these sections. In other words, information can start pass through these brainwave categories. Because in our mind, it's functioning exactly in the same way. The thinking section, beta brainwaves, are the highest frequencies and usually have the strongest energy within them. In other words, they have the strongest signal in the brain. But we want them to quiet down, and we want the signal in the alpha region to be stronger, at least to be twice as strong. And we want the energy in the signal in the subconscious to be strong. So we're going to learn how to do that, but I wanted to paint this picture for you so you understand what I mean with changing your mind. It's not just a conscious decision. It's literally changing the way your brain is functioning. Everybody and everyone can become intuitive. You only need to know how. It's not just for the happy few who are quite intuitive. It's not just for the peak performers of this world. It's not just for the successful CEOs that by nature have that bridge to the subconscious, at least in fleshes. This is what we have seen scientifically when we measure their brainwaves. Successful CEOs show states of an awakened mind. So in other words, no longer a normal waking state. They show that bridge to the subconscious when they make important decisions, when they know my company has to do go left or right in the near future. Nobody understands this, but they do. They understand why. They can't rationalize it, but they have this gut feeling. Not a gut feeling based on emotions or fear, but a gut feeling based on information they pick up from the field. They just know. There are many, many benefits once you start, your mind starts to function in this way. You get more focus. You're more efficient. You will improve your concentration. You will experience more relaxation and improved sleep because you quiet down the thinking mind. That also will reduce stress. You will get more creative because true creativity is just like intuition. It's not coming from the thinking mind. True creativity comes from the subconscious. Because we store everything there. That subconscious can hold far more information than our conscious mind. So it can make the strangest combinations. The combination that we, with our conscious mind, can't reason about or can't know about, but our subconscious knows. We can improve our intuition. We can have better cooperation between our body and our mind. We can even activate the self-healing abilities of our body. Now, most people don't know this, but the self-healing abilities of our bodies is not a conscious process. So that means that we have to get out of our conscious mind. Once we get to the subconscious mind, very actively in a conscious way, go to the subconscious, that reaching that part of our mind, we can activate very consciously the self-healing abilities of the body. We can give basically instructions to our body. We can, it's like a sort of self-hypnosis, because hypnosis also use uses the subconscious, but it's not the same as hypnosis. The only thing that we have in common is that we go to the subconscious, but there is nobody there to give instructions. We are the ones giving instructions. We can have more insight into current situations because we become more intuitive, and the thinking mind is reduced, so to speak. So basically, we can create a better life for ourselves. So it's not only the intuition that is the benefit, or becoming more intuitive, that is the benefit of what I'm talking about. It's basically that when you change your brain and the way your brain is functioning, you will change your whole life. And the changes that you have planned for yourself will happen in a more natural way and in a faster way than you would have experienced when you're just in a normal waking state. Because in a normal waking state, usually we are fighting ourselves. It is important, however, that when we talk about changing our mind, when we continue, when we reduce beta, when we start to access that subconscious by section number two, having that bridge, because section number two is starting to function then as a bridge to the subconscious, to section number three, it is important that we have those preconditions in place. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you might want to listen to the first episodes where we talk about the 10 preconditions, the 10 powerful preconditions for change. So how do you change your state of consciousness? Well, by basically training your mind in a very specific way. In these series, we will not focus on the content of our thoughts. And I know that that there are some methods that do that. But in these series, we will not focus on the content of our thoughts. That is still section number one, right? We don't want to be in section number one. We don't want to change the way section number one is, or the tune that section number one is singing, because it's still singing too loud for us to hear the subconscious. And section number two is still singing too softly or not singing at all. What is usually done is positive thinking, affirmations, stuff like that. That ultimately will change us a little bit, because the more we do that, the more it will sink into our subconscious. Ultimately, these are valid techniques. They shift your focus, but it doesn't mean that you now have changed your state of consciousness, right? So in these series, we will not focus on the content of thought. To change your state of consciousness, you need to alter your brainwave pattern. In other words, we need to start directing our choirs. We need to become the conductors of these sections, and we need to teach them how loud to hum in order to pass on messages. This will make us more intuitive and in tune with our higher selves. Nicole, since it's almost time, I want to, for the last time, ask if there's anybody who had a question in the meantime. If not, I'm going to start with the last bit.
We just had one email question from Jenny asking, how do you know if it's the right kind of fear? This was from an earlier part of your presentation.
Yes. Yes. Well, the thing is, true intuition is not about fear at all. You know that you have to get out of there, but it's not because of fear. And that's the difference. You might feel that your life is in danger, and then fear starts to pop up. But it's not the fear itself that makes you go away. And that is not easily explained when you do not know the difference between intuition and how intuition feels and when it's just subconscious fear. Okay? Let me give you a little example. There can be, for instance, some trauma in your subconscious to do with, let's say you're bitten by a dog when you were a child, okay? Now, when you enter a yard, somebody's yard, you might think or you might pick up some noises that makes you think, oh, there's a dog here, and then you get fearful. This is because of fear in your subconscious, because of the trauma. But when you have an intuitive insight, you come into a yard, you don't know whether there's a dog there. You pick up the same noises, but then your intuition might say, there's nothing to fear here. Now, that is counter what you might expect. That is not what you might have expected, right? Your logical mind would have expected that you should say, okay, I need to be afraid because there's a dog. There's no logic in the thought, there's no dog here. Now, this is easy to understand, that one is intuition, because your logical mind says, oh, this is strange. There's no fear there. My mind says, I don't need to be afraid, there is no dog. It doesn't make sense at all, and yet you are right. Now, that is easy to understand, because when you say there is no dog here, I don't need to be afraid, then it's not the same as having fear, okay? But the difference, and this is your question, the problem starts when you do know that you need to have fear because of your intuition, and otherwise you would have had fear. So if the situation is indeed dangerous, then it's not easy to make the distinguish between fear and fear. Absolutely right. It's the making the distinguish. How do you say that in English? Understanding the difference. I have to say it this way. Understanding the difference between fear and a thought and a thought comes with understanding your intuition. That comes with having access to that intuition more often, and sometimes for some people all the time. When you have that all the time, when you have that more often, you will start to understand the difference. When you sometimes have access and when you don't have control over it, then it doesn't happen enough for you to understand the difference. Then fear is fear and a thought is a thought. And this is also why I say to my clients, you have to start to distinguish between a thought and a thought and a fear and a fear. And you will only understand what I mean by that by having access to the subconscious, learning how to get access to the subconscious and understanding and feeling the difference, because there is a difference. Absolutely. But you're absolutely right with your question. How do you know? Well, most people don't anyway. And some people have that intuition, but they don't have it often enough in order to understand, is this my fear talking, or is this indeed an intuitive insight that I need to get out of here? Yes, so very good question. But you will learn to have access to the subconscious, to train to get access to the subconscious. That means that you will have that to intuitive insights more often, and you will learn to feel the difference between them. Chances are that most of you have never felt the experience or experienced this in the first place. So there is no this making a distinguish between this and an intuition. You can only recognize something that you have experienced. I hope this makes sense. If not, let me know. All right, Nicole, I think that was the last question, or that was the question.
That is the only one we have time for. It's 2 minutes to the top.
All righty. So, the last bit and this is the, today I have some shameless promotion. I have a mediumship training retreat at the Monroe Institute in Italy in September. And for those of you who are interested, you can have a peek and look what that is about. It's combining both worlds, consciousness development and mediumship. And you can find this on suzannetemple.com/store. And that was it for today.
Wonderful, great information. Looking forward to the next one already. And just a reminder for our listeners, you can hear all the shows in Suzanne's archives at newsforthesoul.com. Thanks, Suzanne. Have a great couple of weeks.
And you, Nicole. See you soon.
Bye for now. Suzanne is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back with more right after this break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.